Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is nothing original to me. This was me being discipled by a really godly man that God put in my life 20 years ago. His name's Stephen. And I was wrestling with this question. Like, God has my attention. I want desperately to do things that he wants me to do. But how do I get there? Like, how do you process all these thoughts, feelings, emotions, like desires on my heart, opportunities that are presented to me? Excuse me. And even today, there are every defining moment in my life I've walked through, what we'll talk through here in just over the next few minutes. So it comes all from God's word. It's all in Colossians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 4. I've walked through it personally more times than I can count on big decisions, life-defining moments. Coming here to this church to serve 4 years ago, to opportunities that are presented to me. And I have guys ask this all the time. Things like, hey, I've got this great opportunity. Should I leave my job or should I stay? Or should we move? Or should I go? I talked to a guy last night walking in the gym. We've been doing some life with, and he's like, man, I just got a huge opportunity to move 18 hours away for the next 6 months with a contract that may change the trajectory of our family. What do I do? Young guys going, hey, like, I really, really love this girl. Should I marry her? Should I not? I don't know. I talk to high school seniors a lot. Which college should I go to? Guys saying, hey, I feel like I should start my own business. Or families coming and saying, hey, like, we feel like God's leading us to adopt or engage in the foster care system. Like, what should we do? And these are all really important questions, right? And important moments.
Yeah.
And it ultimately boils down to, again, where I found myself 20 years ago, and I still found myself now, is like, God, what do you want me to do? That was a deep conviction I had going into college with all these plans, hopes, goals, dreams. I had essentially said, God, here's all the things I want. I'll do them for your glory, of course. But if you could kind of stamp your approval on it and bless it, that'd be great. And that the summer between my high school graduation and going to college, I was just rocked with this conviction of God saying, you've never once asked me what I want you to do.
Yeah, right.
And yep. It led me to walking through passages like this. So the secret I have found to making these really tough decisions is just simply getting a word from God.
Amen.
So how do you get a word from God? Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me and I give them eternal life. So that's what I want to get a word from, is a word from the Lord. And as a sheep, I want to hear his voice. So how do we hear his voice? I think it comes with a word of caution going in. Is you really, and this goes back to being in community and having accountability and being transparent and shining light on dark places of your life. If you are walking in sin, actively walking in sin, secret sin, it clogs your ears spiritually to what God is maybe leading you to do. And so searching your own heart and saying things like, Lord, what do I need to repent of? What am I even blind to that I'm walking in sin? Because I want to hear from you. And as you're praying, then you start asking these questions. So we'll just kind of walk through these eight indicators, these eight ways or eight questions to ask when you need direction for God's will in your life. Number one, what is God giving me a peace about? What's he giving me a peace about? This comes right out of Colossians 3, verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It says, members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful.
Amen.
Peace means a quiet rest, and it means to rule. Like, to arbitrate or to govern, the same way that an umpire would call balls and strikes, is the same meaning here, or to be called safe or out. Like, I don't have a piece about this is in the zone and this is outside the zone. What do you have a piece about, or what do you have a pit in your stomach about? You're like, I just don't have a piece. Like, I don't feel settled in my soul about going this direction or that direction. Secondly, what is God saying to me through his word? If you even want to have peace in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, the Romans 12 talks about to even be renewed in your mind, or being in his word. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, knowing that God's word, it teaches us, it instructs us, it encourages us, warns us, prepares us. And God can use his word in a very specific way to speak to specific situations. But it just goes on from verse 15 in chapter 3 to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell means to inhabit, means to make a home there. Amen. This is the very practical way that when we talk about not just reading God's word or checking off a box, but actually memorize it, write it down, meditate. Mentor taught me years ago, he's like, when you see meditate in scripture, think the word marinate. And I'm like, that definitely resonates with me, because I love marinating something and grilling it, cooking it, smoking it.
Yeah, man.
Like, let it get in you, you know, so that you can apply it. And that God's like, word, go ahead.
That sounds like some work.
It is, but it has a really great result.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. And yeah. I have several verses of scripture that I feel like God literally seared with a hot iron, branded on my heart in moments all throughout my life. And I was like, Lord, I want to know what to do. I want to know what you're giving me a piece about, but what are you saying through your word? When we even made the tough decision to go to City of Refuge, it was, that was in Psalm 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And man, I hung my hat on that.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. As a college student, surrendered to the call of ministry. Luke chapter 5, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men. Like, these passages of scripture were just like huge, like illuminated signs in my heart going, this is the way, walk in it. Amen. So what is God saying to you through his word? What's he giving you peace about? What's he saying through his word? Next, also coming out of verse 16 of chapter 3 about teaching and admonishing one another, answer the question, what are godly counselors saying to me? It is good and right for a man to seek out godly counsel from godly men. This could be a pastor. This could be an elder, a deacon. This could be a neighbor. This could be a father, a grandfather. Like, who's walking with Jesus? And that would shoot me straight. They're going to speak the truth to me in love. They're going to not veer me in the wrong direction. Psalm 1 talks about this, about blessed is the man who does not live according to the counsel of wicked people. Okay. Proverbs 15 says that plans fail for lack of counsel, that with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 12, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. So what are godly counselors saying to me when we're being taught and admonished things? It's helping you do the right thing in order to win. It's warning you from doing something foolish. When you're voicing, well, here's what I'm thinking, and a godly counselor is able to look at you and say, I wouldn't rush into that. I would pause. Right. I would take time to pause and really think, or, hey, let me ask you some really honest and maybe some uncomfortable questions. Here's another thing. The world will give you counsel.
Right.
Yeah. It'll tell you, follow your heart, work real hard, do what you want. But if it doesn't agree with and align with God's word, then you can get in trouble. And that's why it's important to have a godly counselor speaking into your life. What are godly counselors saying to me? Next verse, verse 17 of chapter 3, talks about God makes decisions based upon his name's sake. I just talked about it out of Psalm 23. So that's the fourth question. What will honor the name and reputation of Jesus? Does this make much of Christ? This goes back, Justin, what we were talking about earlier, this humble recognition that I'm not the hero of my life, of my story. Jesus is. And if I'm willing to trade away my life, my story, the trajectory of my life, so that Christ will be magnified, then that's when real life begins and purpose begins. And like, man, is this decision I'm about to make, will it honor the name, the namesake of Christ? Scripture talks to this. Ezekiel chapter 20 says that, talks about how God operates according to his character and to his name, not according to our wickedness. Praise the Lord for that.
I remember that.
Paul talks about it in Romans 1 verse 5, that he gives us grace for his namesake. Psalm 23:3 that I mentioned earlier, that he leads us and guides us in paths that are righteous. So having just this slow and steady step to go, God, I want to take steps toward the things that will honor the name of Jesus. Number five, what are my spiritual authorities in my life telling me to do? This is also in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 18, verse 20, verse 22. And it basically is speaking to this. If we want to truly submit and surrender to the Lord and his authority, then God honors when we listen to authority. Romans 13 teaches us that all authority is from God. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 6, right out of the gate. Children, obey your parents, your mother and your father, for this is right. This is how we live a good and long life, submission to authority. It strengthens our relationships when we do this.
Amen.
I think it's Matthew 6, where the Roman centurion comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, can you heal my servant? I've really got this guy that it needs your help, and he's a great one. And Jesus is like, wow, I love and admire your faith. I'll come heal him. He goes, no. Like, I understand how this works. You have authority because you're under authority, just like me. I'm a centurion. I have 100 men under my care, but I have that authority because I'm under authority. And it was like one of two times that Jesus was amazed at the faith of someone, and it was a Gentile.
Yeah.
Wow. He understands if you want authority in your life, you have to be under authority. You want to be a great leader, then you got to be led first, you know? And so, yeah, like just looking to the people in your life, not perfect people, but godly authorities in your life, like go have a moment where you go sit down with one of your pastors and say, like, I just want to walk you through like what I'm thinking about. What would you say about this? Like, I want to submit to what your wisdom and your leadership, your guidance in my life as my spiritual authority. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, whether to a king or the one in authority, to governors sent by him, the punishment of evildoers, praise the one who's right, for such is the will of God. Jesus himself modeled this for us, that he submitted to unsympathetic authorities because he wanted to please his Father, not because they were smarter or wiser than him. Which is really comforting when you're like, man, I don't know if I want to go put myself in it. Like, Jesus himself modeled this for us. Philippians 2, like, continually goes on more and more. So that's the fifth one.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button.
subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of Inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.